Hello and welcome to the 300th podcast of the Bennett Brothers Marvel podcast. I almost got that right. And then by almost, I mean, I got it right. This is fantastic. I'm also sitting in the squeakiest chair in the goddamn world.
You would think you'd learn after 300 podcasts.
Now I'm standing with my hands on my hips and I'm having my first sip. This is the 300th episode of the whiskey that I'm going to start this with. And it is, we're starting with Amaretto, Old Smoky Amaretto whiskey. So hang on, big ice cube, hang on. Clink, the clinking sound. Hang on.
The Foley effects in this show are amazing.
Gonna be, this is going to be incredible. Yeah, cue the fart sound. Boom. All right. Fantastic. How did you make that sound? All right. Welcome to our 300th episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We would like to have gotten this out like a week or two earlier, but life gets in the way. And life. We are doing this before the Loki series starts up, which will be the 301st one. And we just thought, what could we do? We talked about a billion things. We came back. We kind of modified our initial idea. We always talked about, Joel said, it's obvious, let's do the movie 300.
You know, we deal with comic book movies and TV shows, and 300 is a graphic novel. So. Absolutely.
But then we kind of modified it, and we thought, like, you know what we should do? We should do 300. Jerry should still keep drinking. And then we should do 300 Rise of the Empire. And then we will compare and contrast that. Because that one, that's also in keeping with the fact that on our 100th and our 200th episode, we did Howard the Duck and Elektra.
Yep.
Figured we'll keep Jerry the quality.
Jerry was not interested in doing Catwoman.
We're not doing Catwoman.
300 is so apropos to this whole situation. I will not be drinking, though. Unfortunately, I can't drink at this time, so I will be playing the host while Jerry gives his reactions to everything.
I'm
going to
be going out and saying famous quotes like, "This is Cake Town." Something you only get if you ever watched the internet back in 2007.
Nobody. If you got that reference, please let us know, because I'm betting there's not a single person listening to this podcast that gets that reference.
I guarantee you my son Nicholas, who now listens to it, will love that. So that one's out to Nick. Speaking of listeners, we wanted also, before we get into this, give a thank you to everybody who has ever participated, commented on, and again, we don't have, wish we had more information on the Facebook stuff, but everybody who's commented, but we appreciated everybody did it, and especially the patrons.
We've been doing this for like 8 years. 8 years.
I think it's nine.
Nine years.
Know that quote. Oh my God.
So we've been doing this a long time. Again, this started out with Jerry and I. We always talk about TV shows and movies, and then we said, why don't we just record it and put it out there for other people, for other people to listen to and enjoy the conversation with and participate in the conversation. So this is one of those things that we just kind of came out of nowhere. We've done 300 episodes now, so we've had a lot of people listen in. I don't know if anyone's actually listened to every single episode, but that'd be awesome if you have, including our Patreon minicasts that we do. But we've had people come and go, and you know, we've had a good following for a very long time, and we wanted to give a shout out to some of the people that, you know, listened for a long time, maybe stopped listening or just started up, but who have contributed, who have participated, who, you know, are some of our biggest supporters. And we definitely want to give you a shout out, because we appreciate you so much, because without you guys, Jerry and I talk about this, without you guys, we're not doing this, right?
You're making me do this, so maybe I'm mad at you.
Ooh, Jerry doesn't like you if you're making him do this. No, we love you guys, and again, here's the shout out. Jerry, what's the list? What do you got? Okay, I will continue to talk.
No,
I mean, you didn't give me the high side.
First off, we can talk about, let's just stay right at that with the people who have done our patrons. Where is our patron site?
Patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast.
And what do people get there and do there?
You go there, you donate. That helps us out here at the podcast.
Oh, you went
keeps the lights on, as Jerry has said 1,000 times. In 300 episodes, Jerry said that 400 times. It's amazing. We keep the lights on. It's a simple donation, little as a dollar. It's crazy. And you get minicasts. Minicasts are just podcasts that are unfiltered.
Uncensored.
And
things you wouldn't understand. Some things you couldn't understand, and some things you shouldn't understand.
And there,
and that's only with a sip of whiskey.
And yeah, oh, you just you wait. You get mini casts there, and these mini casts are subjects that have, you know, rankings of directors and also we've done so many things. I think we've done like 60 mini casts, or there's at least 60 posts on the Patreon.
12 good ones.
Yeah, 12 good ones. Find the ones that are the best. And they don't date at all. None of them.
Oh, my goodness, they date.
Including, we didn't do it last year because, you know, COVID and I had cancer. But we usually do a recap episode of all the superhero movies that came out, and we rank them throughout the year because we do see just about every superhero movie that comes out. We didn't do it last year. We'll hopefully continue with the tradition this year.
So some of the people who have been patrons, and we want to give a shout out. Again, our patron site, there's not that many of you, and the ones that do it, God bless you. I mean, you know, if you want to be part of that, you want to get your name called out, like, who wouldn't? This is the way to do it. Like to thank some friends out there. I'm going to start off with, right at the beginning, one who has done a lot for the podcast, Mr. Ed Pierce, the only one who got his own the Get Pierce segment. Get Pierce. So thank you, Ed, for all your contributions. He had already, since this podcast is like 2 weeks late, he's like, are you still doing it? So here it is. So thank you, Ed. Thank you, Tim Curtis, another good friend who actually has done his own podcast, the Self-Commentary Podcast. He's come back to do that. And we've done two over there, and we're probably going to do another one soon. So thank you, Tim, and keep up the good work. Also, Tim, I listen to all podcasts personally at time and a half speed because my time is just that precious. But I just do. I just happen to do that for most of them. And I wanted to let you know that your theme music at time and a half rocks. In fact, don't change it because then I'll be hearing it at like three times the speed if you did that. But go ahead and take a listen to your time and a half one because that track, I mean, it's a fine track. It sounds great when you play
it
normal. But
it slaps is what you're saying.
A time and a half, baby. Oh, man. That thing is, I like it. I like it a lot. I'd like to thank Pat and Jen Varda who have been contributors and patrons. And thank you for all your work. Also, Joe Zeman, solid comic book guy. The guy's got quite a bunch of history with that stuff. Josh Levine, good friend. I've been a friend of the podcast. John Lloyd, our cousin, great guy out on there in Arizona, good listener. Jeff Cook, no relation, never heard of him.
What?
Cousin Ryan. Ryan Paluch has been a big supporter.
Ryan Paluch.
He's
been on the podcast.
Also, other people who have been involved, we got Eric Rendell. Thanks for coming back, Eric. Then there's ones who have been patrons and come and gone, which has been appreciative of all of your... back all the way to whatever happened to Marshall Tenney. Marshall, if you're still out there.
Oh, Marshall, we miss you, Marshall.
Marshall sent us a hard drive at one point of like the first five seasons and every movie was insane. I was like, oh, okay. I've looked at it like, this is great. I go back and watch this stuff. And then Disney Plus came out and now it doesn't mean anything. So it's a doorstop. No.
Marshall became Disney Plus.
Yeah. And we have just a few other people like Rich Miltmore, good conversations. Other people who have been patrons in the past. Kim Keating, thank you. Maggie. I don't know Maggie's last name, but she was a patron. I liked it. It was really nice. Derek Pender, another good guy. And there's people who've been on our website, too. Marianne Belter.
Marianne, yep.
Good comments Marianne's there.
Great. Oh, Brendan Gunn, yep.
Brendan Gunn, thank you.
I also want to throw out one more thank you. Actually, two
to
more
me?
Thank yous.
You're
well,
welcome.
To Jerry, yes. I would also like to thank our wives, because without this, we'd still do it, but without them... they let us do this, and it's very nice.
Well, without them, we'd be doing podcast number 600 now, because we'd have nothing else going on.
And they wouldn't have listened to any of them.
Nope. Yes. My wife has been in this podcast we heard her screaming upstairs one time when the hockey game was going on, and her voice came over. That's it.
Oh, good, so, good.
Thank you.
These are like the characters in television shows you hear about but never see.
Yes. This is Vera, the wife of Norm.
Mm-hmm. Or
Maris. The wife of Niles.
The mother of...
if you don't know it...
Howard, the mother of Howard.
Cosell.
You hear her voice.
Howard Cosell.
No, from Big Bang Theory.
I know who you're talking about, yes.
I can't remember his mother's name, but you never see her, you just
Wallowitz,
hear her voice.
Mrs. Wallowitz.
Yeah.
Well, we've derailed. All right,
You know what? That's a Patreon.
So now, having got all that done... we talked about talking about movie trailers or stuff that's coming up, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff. We'll save that for other podcasts. Joel is really excited for Snake Eyes. We'll see what happens with that. But you know, we're going to continue. We got Loki coming up. We got Black Widow and the whole world ahead of that. Will we do What If? That's animated, but it's in the universe.
What if we do it?
Nice. I see what you did
there. That was terrible.
But you know what we will do is 300. Tell us some information about the movie 300.
300, based on the graphic novel, based on historic events, directed by Zack Snyder of Justice League, Zack Snyder, the Zack Snyder edition. No, so this is we're gonna do 300, and then I don't know if you mentioned this, we're also going to be doing 300 Rise of an Empire. We did mention that.
Yes, we did.
Not based on a graphic novel. It is written by Zack Snyder, produced by Zack Snyder, not directed by him. It's a different film. I've only seen that film once.
I have only seen it once, and that's all I needed to see it, but we're watching it again. It's not a terrible film. It's not Elektra. It's not Howard the Duck. But next to 300, which is high-ranking film, we saw that at the IMAX back in 2007 when it came out. The original book was written by Frank Miller, the comic book writer-artist who is known for The Dark Knight Returns and Daredevil, with Elektra, the whole storyline there that brought him to prominence, among many, many other books, Batman Year One. And so it was very, visually, it looks like his world, which we also saw in the movie Sin City, and Frank Miller also directed The Spirit, terrible movie. But this film works. This film works very, very well.
Well, Zack Snyder does a really good job with it. And well,
from my memory, is this his best film, do you think? Is it this Watchmen?
This movie should have been nominated for Best Picture, if not won the Best Picture of the year.
It's up there.
I think one of the reasons this film had a problem with the Academy Awards is because it came out at the wrong time. You need to be at the right time to be an Academy Award nominated.
But as we've learned, and I've told Joel, and now it's becoming more and more evident, that award shows mean zero. We're all going to be watching the Golden Globes. I'm sure that'll be a big hit whenever that airs again. Back on, I think it's going to be on PBS at this point. Award shows mean nothing, and I've talked about this forever. But this film, I think, what's the runtime? This is a short film. 116 minutes. This is a long film. 157
minutes. It's 2 hours.
This film's 116 minutes.
I have 157 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 hour and 57 minutes.
There we go. Because 157 minutes is...
That's an epic long film.
That's the Justice League. Yeah.
This is an hour and 57 minutes. So 2 hours.
All right.
And the second one is an hour and a half.
I'm going to have to slow down my drinking.
I also want to point out that...
Slow down my drinking.
Jerry and I are in incredible shape right now for this movie. We've been working out the 300 workout. So just imagine that.
That's took 300 days, 1 minute a day workout. That's 300 minutes and...
It shows.
There you go. It's fantastic. All right, so we'll be back.
Are we also going to do the 300 Spartans movie? I don't know if we're going to do that.
No, we're not going to do it.
From 62?
No.
We're going to talk about the Immortals at any point. Remember that there was a movie called The Immortals, and it looks just like...
Oh, they did, like, there's a dozen films that came out at that time that are all...
But that was done by... I believe that was done by the producers of this movie, did the Immortals.
I never saw it.
It was all right.
Yeah, exactly.
We could also do the spoof, Meet the Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
No, none of that for you?
No. All right, so we're going to come back. We know this film really well. One of the thrills about watching this movie now, years later, is you look at, like, oh my God, look at Jerry Butler. He looks incredible. And look at all these different actors in the movie. And you're like, who's that guy over there? Oh, that secondary character? That is, in fact, Magneto.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah. Michael Fassbender. You know, he gets the great line. You know, so
fight in the shade.
And you get also, this movie has obviously Lena Headey, who is known from Game of Thrones. You have David Wenham, who
was also known for the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Really.
But you have David Wenham, who was from, he played Boromir's brother, Faramir, in Lord of the Rings. Hey, I got that. And you have Dominic West, who was in The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
And Wilford Brimley.
And we'll talk about the people who...
Also
appear in both movies, because obviously some people appear in both.
And that it would be Xerxes, the emperor god, who was played by
Rodrigo Santoro,
who was in Lost. He was Pablo in the Nicky and Pablo aborted storyline.
He was in Ben-Hur as well. And he's also in Westworld. That's right. He was in...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's great in that.
Yeah, he's fantastic in Westworld. I forgot. I forgot that was him.
All right. When next we speak, we'll have watched 300. There will be a lot of screaming.
Oh, we didn't even mention probably my favorite.
This is madness.
Yeah, Peter Mensa, who went on to do a show that's similar to this in Spartacus.
Yeah, he was great in that. He's only in this movie.
Oh, for
five minutes.
Yeah,
but it was in the credits. It was in the trailer, so it was so prominent that I was actually like, "Oh, that's it. That's all he's in the movie," because he's just you know, tread wisely, Spartan.
I'm excited. I hope you're excited out there. Hope you're watching it with us. You pause it here, watch the movie, come back.
Will anybody do that? We're not going to do a commentary because this podcast would then be 5 hours long. Unless you do it at time and a half speed. Like I would do it at 2.5 hours. All right. We'll be back in 300 minutes.
or if you're listening to this, we'll be back in a second.
Well, we get to get a bathroom break, so that's a lot. Okay. Be back soon.
And we are back. We have watched 300 and 300 Rise of an Empire. We have a lot of things to say, and I know Jerry has a lot of ideas he wants to share with you.
Shut up over there. You're talking with your face all talky.
Jerry's had a couple of drinks.
You? What? Yeah, I'll have one. What? All right, no. We decided not to break it up in the middle there. We thought we'd do it all at once. We were into 300. Well, let's see where Jerry's at here. So I started with amaretto whiskey.
Are you talking about your drinking?
Yes. And then I went to salted watermelon whiskey.
He wanted
whiskey
to break it up in the middle, but he just kept on going.
Then I went to peach whiskey, and then I stopped with sour apple whiskey. There's a lot of sugar in these whiskeys, but they're okay. So there you go.
For those of you who don't know, we're recording. It's 9 in the morning.
There's a 9 in the morning now? Get out of here, man. That's insane. Oh, my God, that's good stuff. That's the hair of the dog that bit you. I don't even understand what that means. No. I am a cat person. All right. No. All right. So we'd watched both films. We thought we'd break it up in the middle, and we realized that we've seen 300, and we knew it. So let's jump. We jumped right into the second film.
So we basically watched Justice League, because this was three hours, 45 minutes of movies we just watched.
This is brutal. This has been brutal.
Although, I will say, at least as far as 300 is concerned, that movie flew by. That's 2 hours. That did not feel like 2 hours. I don't know about you.
Agreed.
That flew by.
Also, we've established, I was told I couldn't do it while we were watching it, so all of my Jerry Butler impersonations are going to come rest. So if you have headphones on, I apologize ahead of time.
Noise
there's,
alert.
There's going to be some loud screaming at certain points in this podcast. I apologize, but I also take...
I apologize, too.
It's going to be great. You know why? Because I got nothing. If I set up too much, I can't do it.
Nope. You're gonna.
This is podcast.
No, see, it doesn't work. No, nope, sorry. Apologize, everybody. Oh, it didn't work as well as I hoped it would.
No, it didn't work as well at all.
No.
Actually, it worked about as well as I thought it was going to.
Well, that's a plus.
Oh man, so we're not going to spend too much time talking about 300 because I think it's good. We could spend hours talking about how good that movie is.
Agreed.
Because it is a top, I don't know, 100 movie of all time.
It is my top 50 movies of all time. Top I would 50? Even put there. That film is solid. It'll hold up. We talked about when we were watching it how our dad grew up in a time when the Steve Reeves Hercules movies were a thing, and it was not something that he would always fondly talk about. But at a certain point, when they finally started re-releasing those available in the early 2000s, after having not seen them other than on, you know, black and white TV, he would rewatch them, not tell us that they were good. He was just getting the nostalgia aspect of it. And obviously, there's movies and TV shows that everybody has, including us, of films that we go like, you know, listen, I'm not going to tell you to watch this. I love it because it's nostalgia. But this film, I would say, yes, this is an incredible film. 300 is great.
Interesting that you put it in your top 50. Where does it rank as far as comic book movies?
Oh my God! You and your ranking. I don't know.
I'm just curious. Is it top 10? I mean, the Marvel.
I wasn't ready for this. Yeah, there's a lot of movies in there.
Yeah, DC movies.
You know. Oh, here's the other thing. It is a great film, but it's not one of my top 10 stories. You know, as far as like if the category was the most accurate comic translation, we talked about how the fact that Marvel films are not comic accurate translations of stories. Civil War was not like that.
No.
The feel, the characters, the scope, all of that is. 300 is probably the perfect example, other than maybe Watchmen. Sin City and Watchmen.
Okay, Zack Snyder and Sin City.
But it's the same feeling. It's Frank Miller. Films that are like, no, this is a direct translation. None of the Superman movies, none of the Batman movies, none of the Fantastic Four movies, none of the Spider-Man movies are telling a specific story other than an origin. Other than Doctor Strange getting an origin, or Batman's parents dying, or Superman leaving Krypton.
I'm sure he goes by Doc Strange.
Yeah, okay. I would think so. Well, we've determined that...
It's Doctor, not Doc.
Yeah, just so we're clear, when we're watching this, Joel had a kick out of the fact that I kept calling him Jerry Butler. together, because that's who he is. Him and I, we're both Jerry B's. That's who we are. It's like Anthony Hopkins. If you were going to, hey, listen, if you're on the street and you see Anthony Hopkins walk by and you went, Anthony, he ain't going to look. If you look at him and go, Tony, he will look at you. Then he'll look away. But he's going to like, oh, you know who I am. I'm Tony Butler. You know, I'm Tony Hopkins. And that's Jerry Butler. As when we have a Jerry B convention, which is, I would recommend going. it's fantastic.
Not really that great.
Because you're not invited.
I get invited to the JB convention, though.
That's true. That one is a good one. Also, the Jay Bennett thing is really going over well. So, some of the comments I've written down here when we were watching 300 is Joel had a great observation that as we were watching it, now I can't unsee it, that the fact that the captain's son is now and forever will be Ted Theodore Logan.
He's Keanu Reeves.
He looks exactly like that from that time, but ripped. He's like, whoa, I just cut that guy's head off. Whoa, Bill. I think we've done something here. Strangers afoot at the Circle K.
This movie, $65 million budget estimated, grossed $210 million domestically, $456 globally. Obviously, much more than that. Overall,
released today, it's a $1 million. It's a $1 billion.
That
film.
Movie still, it's still going to be watched. It's still.
What year was
seen.
That? 2007.
7. You're right.
Okay.
2006.
2006.
As I was watching this, it was one of those things that kept. I'll watch this movie till the day I die. This is a movie I'm going to watch.
This
over
will be the film
again.
He watches as he's dying. I'm
it
dying.
Holds up.
Put on 300.
There's no bad CGI. There's no bad acting. There's no bad looking. It holds up. Even the weirdness, because there was a quote from Zack Snyder who said, "Add more weirdness to this." Obviously, one of Jerry's moments he got taken out is there's a scene with a minstrel playing goat. Whatever that's all about.
What was that?
But that was apparently designed by Zack Snyder's tattoo guy or something like that. Like, so, yeah. But it's weirdness.
Blown.
There's a lot of weirdness in it. And I go back to the first season of Spartacus, and those episodes had, that was Sam Raimi, but those episodes had some extreme weirdness to it as well. Giants, monsters, things like that. I'm all for that. Give me that kind of stuff. Because, you know, Rise of an Empire or Fall of a Franchise.
We're not there yet. Let's hold on that one.
So, but it had a lot of weirdness, and it looks like a painting. The slow motion is used to the right effect. It's really well done. You mentioned the story's not the greatest. It doesn't need... The story gets
I didn't say the story wasn't the greatest.
It's not... But it's just not a great story.
Oh, I don't know if I didn't say that.
No, I don't think I implied.
No, that's fine.
What I was going to say is I think it is told visually and not necessarily through dialogue. And I'm totally cool. Yeah, the dialogue's amazing in it. It has some great one-liners.
And I have seen most of the 1962
tonight
version.
Tonight we dine in hell. You know, so many great lines.
You're not saying them right.
No, I think I sounded just like Michael Fassbender when he said,
"Give them nothing, but take from them everything."
Let me sound really cool. Then we shall fight in the shade.
That's pretty good.
Our arrows will blot out the sun. And now do Xerxes.
Xerxes?
Yes, now let's talk down here. I can do Xerxes if I remember in the edit to make this voice deeper and deeper. I'm doing an incredible job right now.
There's also a chance that I might set this up to sound like Chip and Dale, so it may be a little different. I am Xerxes!
It's not a heavy dialogue-driven movie. There's a lot of visual storytelling, and I love that. I think we never saw anything really like this. Jerry mentioned Gladiator was one of the things that
Gladiator
sort of kicked it off.
I would say, especially like at the end, or even the beginning and the end, we're seeing wheat fields, and that was definitely inspired by the movie Gladiator, which was the beginning, I would say, of the resurgence, even as briefly as it was, of the sand and sandal films of the
Rome.
Of the two. Well, that was after Rome. What came after Gladiator was the
those
one that was
the
like
first
boom.
Two that I remember
you know,
being
Gladiator was the Beatles of the British invasion. You know that scenario of like, okay, now we can do Gladiator. That time period, and then you know as it goes forward.
The first one, the original, the only one that really matters.
Yes,
this is sort of the kicking point for a couple of big actors, Michael Fassbender, like Jerry mentioned, and Gerard Butler, or Jerry Butler.
Jerry Butler.
As some people like to say. So they took kind of no-name actors, and this was their launching point.
Even Leona Hemsley. Hemsley.
Lena.
My apologies, Lena. I'm a big listener of our podcast.
Lena Headey.
Yeah, she was not, obviously, this was part of the launch pad for her. Mm-hmm. Maybe this led to her getting Game of Thrones. I don't know.
And this is, and you know what? They're perfect. Gerard Butler, Jerry Butler, plays like he's a leader. He's a man's man. He is
everything. This
like,
is his is, ultimate role.
He looks perfect.
And I've
looks
watched all of his expert. Fallen movies.
He's perfect in it. Oh, no, I mean, he's good in Gamer. He's done, yeah, this is his best role.
And his body is at peak shape. It would mm-hmm. never get this way again. He knows that, and that's fine because this he's is this insane. He yeah, it's insane perfect. How they look.
He sounds perfect. Everything about him is perfect. So that, so you know, again, I, like I said, I, there's not much I can. I don't think I can critique this movie. I don't know if there's well, anything
I,
in there.
I'll throw out critique. Some just points of. I did write some stuff down as we were watching it. Obviously, we were talking about how this story. Versus the original book is like there's the Queen's story. That whole sequence happening there was fine. That was the part of the show that was less. Obviously, in the book, they don't go there, but Hollywood or the filmmakers made the decision, let's tell the Queen's story to bring that aspect in, to bring some representation on that side. Was it good? It wasn't bad. Could it be taken out like it is in the books? Absolutely, but it's fine. It was a decision to put that in there. We joked about the fact that when David Wynham's character, who he's the narrator of all this, when he gets his eye taken out and he's got the eye patch, he basically gets to live because he's a good storyteller. So it's like we had some fun talking
again,
about that.
Again, there's quite, he might be actually based on a real person.
Yes, and you got a big kick out of the fact that when Leonidas was, you know, pulling him to the side to have the conversation, saying, you know, head back, and he like takes off what you initially thought was going to be his tail of hair, but it was in braid. Fact his braid. But he takes off his necklace. But Joel's like, yeah, like jeez,
he ripped off his own braid.
This is my braid. It's like, oh my god. We talked about. I was very noticed of the actor who plays the councilman, who is her ally in mm-hmm. the local, who looks extremely like Lance Henriksen, Bishop from Aliens. I realized watching that he was actually the same actor who played the original Night Owl, Hollis something or other from the movie Watchmen, also directed by Zack Snyder. I was oh yeah, that guy was great. He, of course, he had the Abraham Lincoln beard, as everybody did then. I did make the observation that every guy in this movie who didn't have a six-pack ab or have it drawn onto him was able to have a sash cover him so that it kind of covered that. So all he had to do was just work on
almost
the guns.
Almost everyone, except for the one of the 300. The Athenian who comes, he has the leather cross. Like, mm-hmm. it's an X on his chest. Yeah, he's obviously not as big.
Joel
as
Joel made a great comment, the fact that when the narrator, I'm going to call him One-Eye mm-hmm. at this point.
Delos.
When he comes up to meet the prince, or I'm sorry, the queen, and give the necklace to him because he has depth perception because he totally misses his hand. Made me laugh as we're watching. Like, here, the king wanted you. Oops, sorry. I really feel bad about this.
I thought you were closer.
Exactly. And then my last comment towards this was the sequence where he's giving the speech in front of not 300 people, but clearly 3,000. He's like, I'm telling this up here. And the people in the back, what's he saying? What? No, I can't understand. I think we're charging
that's
here.
That's such a movie thing, though.
I know, it's
though.
Fun.
Like,
it's fun.
That's in tons of movies.
And it's brutal in the next film. Brutal in the next
so,
film.
So I want to also bring up, Jeff Cook asked this question, and I think it's a good time to talk about it, because it's a question about Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder did not direct the next movie. He was busy filming Man of Steel at that time. He did write and produce the second movie. Mm-hmm. But Jeff asked the question of if Zack Snyder has become a better director since then, or... has he improved as a director since 300?
That's a tricky question.
That
he's
is
done,
because
since
he started,
that movie,
he came out with a bang with that
since
movie.
Since he's done that movie, he did Man of Steel, he did Sucker Punch, he did Batman versus Superman, he did Justice League, he's done Army of the Dead, and then he's done the re-edit of Justice, which is a lot of films, you know, they take a long time to make. Plus, he produced
so,
a bunch
yeah,
of films.
Yeah, so his first big feature-length film was Dawn of the Dead, which
yes,
was pretty good.
And then this, and then
and
Watchmen.
Then 300...
Watchmen.
Legends of the Guardians.
That's the animated film. And then did he...
Sucker Punch, Man of Steel.
Sucker Punch, Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman,
Batman, Superman,
Justice League.
Snow Steam Iron. I don't know what that is.
That one.
Justice League, Hanukkah.
Yeah, these are like...
And then Zack Snyder, and then Army of Dead.
Oh, then Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
The movie Zack Snyder?
Zack Snyder movie. I think he just hit it out of the park with 300.
He did, and followed up with Watchmen. I think Watchmen is on the same level.
No, I think so. I think 300 is better than Watchmen.
I think it looks great,
but I think 300 is a better movie than Watchmen. I think it's better than Sucker Punch.
Agree to disagree.
Man of Steel, I think Man of Steel is better than 300. Well, that's on the same. That's on the same level. Batman v Superman is lower. Justice League, Zack Snyder vert cut.
Joel Ranking Bennett. That's his middle initial.
Army of the Dead is it. That all depends on a sequel, in my opinion.
Although we did a comment, you know, the fact that there are moments of blurry filming in this one too.
I don't think he's become a better director.
Well, it's a story, man. It's telling again. The difference there is you've got Zack Snyder making both this and Watchmen, which are two fairly comic accurate movies, versus his other DC comic films and the weird Sucker Punch, which are like ideas and characters and concepts from the books, but not telling anything specific. Batman versus Superman kind of tells the story of The Dark Knight Returns and kind of tells the story of Doomsday, but really they decide to go like, you know what, Hollywood, we know better. Hollywood's like, we know the story to tell. We'll take your concept and your characters. Now, again, I say that, and Marvel ends up doing it right, so I can't, totally poo-poo that idea, but, you know.
I think Zack Snyder's aesthetic really works for 300 and a Frank Miller graphic novel. I think it works perfectly. But Zack Snyder doesn't change his aesthetic up often. Army of the Dead does feel differently than other Zack Snyder stuff, but Sucker Punch, Watchmen, Man of Steel, they all feel very similar to 300.
Tim Burton's films feel the same. Quentin Tarantino films feel the same. Spielberg films, for the most part, decade-wise. Now, Spielberg's got 4 decades, so he evolves.
Versus other directors like Kubrick, who changes up his aesthetic for every single
movie. But also, every Kubrick film feels like a Kubrick film. So as much as you say that, if you watch it, you're 5 minutes into it, and you're like, this is a Stanley Kubrick film. Really. For the last 8 of them. Not the early 50s stuff, but anything
I'm agree with you, that. But that's also writing, because he writes his stuff.
Yeah, versus, they have a feel, they have a light, they have a cinematography.
So I'm just saying that I think 300 probably, and Watchmen, I think they match his aesthetic really well, versus Army of the Dead doesn't, and again, that's different, because it feels different. But Batman v Superman doesn't feel like the right aesthetic for him. Man of Steel did, though.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Maybe I take that back.
I would say the compliment and the final thing I'll say on Zack Snyder and myself with this is that Zack Snyder as a filmmaker is in the category of a Tim Burton, of a Quentin Tarantino, of a Spielberg, of a Kubrick, is an artist, as a director, that when you watch the film, like it or hate it, you go like, oh, that is definitely a Zack Snyder film. That was a Tim Burton film. It feels that way. Joss Whedon, as much as Avengers was good, or Serenity, or it's like the good films in the dialogue, maybe you go like, oh, this sounds like his dialogue. But filming wise, it looks like a TV director did it very well. And speaking of TV directors and TV looks, that brings us to our second film, 302 Electric Boogaloo, which again, I love the name. That's fantastic. But this film came out in 2014. This is roughly 7 years later.
You mean 300, Fall of a Franchise?
Yes, that was good. Or as I saw the line, Rise of I an Empire. It was really weird. But this film is, we talked about this as we're watching it. It is a prequel, and then a parallel, and then eventually a sequel. It's very unique in that aspect, that it's a film that takes place before the first film, during the first film, with cutting to it, and then after the first film. That was very unique. And here's another thought. I love that kind of stuff, actually. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, this is a question I had later on, but I'm going to say it right now. If this film had come out first, ignore the fact that continuity of story or whatever, this film, we would be like, oh my God, look at this film, without a world of the 300. But unfortunately, this film is a copycat, is a clone, is dealing off of what an artist did. Well, after the Beatles came over in 64, 62, or 63, then you had the British invasion, and you had some great stuff.
You know what I would compare it to? I would say you have the Beatles, and then you have Wings. Not that Wings are bad.
What are you talking about? That's a crazy comparison.
Zack Snyder still had a hand in this. He wrote it. He produced it. He was still a part of this process. He just wasn't the director of it. So I would
compare the Beatles to Herman's Hermits.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's still a connection to the original band. It's just not, it'll never be the Beatles. It's Wings. Like, Wings is good. They've had some good hits, but not all their hits. You know?
It's not Wings. It's Paul McCartney.
Okay, it's Ringo off on his own, maybe.
Yes.
This budget was $110 million.
Which
almost
was,
double.
Yeah, most.
Almost double. And it grossed $106 million in the U.S. and then $337 million globally.
Not necessarily a failure, but definitely not a hit.
came out 8 years later. Would you be able to tell? No. In fact, there are moments CGI-wise. There's a big epic scene at the end where it's one shot.
We both acknowledge this.
It's very gummy. In a lot.
Well, there was a couple of good
sometimes
scenes
good,
in this.
Sometimes
there was one
gummy
scene. Joel and I commented halfway through the scene. I go, "This feels like the first moment." And Joel was like, "I was thinking the same thing."
I think it was the first moment, but it did definitely feel like it was the first movie.
Yes, it did.
And so that leads me to I have thoughts. I know you have thoughts too.
Oh yeah.
Let me throw out my first thought.
I did not see this one in theater. By the way, we saw the first one in theater. This one did not get good reviews, did not get good press. Consequently, I made the decision to see it at home, which is weird with films that I think of like the movie Kingsman. I love the first Kingsman. The second one didn't do great. I waited, and quite honestly, it didn't deserve a theatrical release, and this film was the same way.
Well, this one felt like a cash grab, too, more than anything.
It's a cash grab eight years later.
Yeah, though. But that's like it felt like it wasn't necessary, and to be honest, it's not necessary. It doesn't make the story any better. I guess historically, it's telling us more of the thing, but it's still fictionalized like crazy. So my first thing I will say about this, 300 was a visual movie, a visual storytelling movie. This was definitely
a painting.
This one's much more dialogue driven, heavier dialogue driven. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to rely on the interaction between characters much more. I mean, look at the interactions in the first movie. You have him, Leonidas, and his wife, barely. You have the husband and the father and the son. That's probably the biggest relationship there is. There's not a lot. This one has to deal with tons of relationships and things like that.
Including building the relationship on Xerxes' side, which
exactly.
I did admire. And I'm like, oh, that gives a little motivation over there. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So if you're going to do that, you need to have some really strong actors. What they decided to do with this movie was, like the first movie, they're like, hey, Jerry Butler came out of nowhere, and we're going to make him a star.
He had done a bunch of rom-com stuff before
that. So they're like, we're going to get another no-name actor. And by the way, he's still a no-name actor.
His name was Sullivan Stapleton. I went through his IMDb. I have not seen one film that he has done since this.
I applaud that, but it's got to be in the right situation.
I guess the big name they brought to this was Eva Green. As far as a new actor, they brought Eva Green, who was a Bond girl,
bad,
and she's done a lot of
but she was
films.
Like villainous villain, like yeah, really. I'm a bad guy.
Well, so was he kind of in the first film, but he was a character.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a god, like, and that's okay. And you'd be honest. By the way, what Rise of an Empire? What is that referring to?
I believe it's the Empire of Greece. I think.
Okay.
I think it's like the 300. It's not the Rise of Sparta. You know, that was one of my biggest issues with the film, is the first film spends a measurable time telling us how the Spartans are better than everyone, and it shows that. It shows that throughout the entire film that Spartans are the best, as far as they're concerned. And then they go, oh, we're going to do a second film. These guys are also just as good. It's like, no, they're not.
Well,
you had a comment about how his build. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so for this film, the actor, he came in... He came in Jack. There's a ton of stuff. Sullivan.
No, but the actor, the character. Themistocles?
God, I could be saying it just fine before.
I know you were. I'm sorry. I totally messed you up.
Yeah, whatever. He comes in,
Bill.
And he's jacked, and there's a lot of stuff about him getting in shape for this, and they told him to slim down because he can't be as big as Spartans. The Spartans are they're the best of the biggest.
That's hard, and then you're dealing
with... That's stupid.
Yeah, it is.
I get it. I get the sense behind it. But if you're going to have if you're going to have a movie called 300 and then show, like, and part of that movie is the eye can't, it's just visually stunning and you have these people with peak bodies and all that.
Beyond peak.
Just do it. Do it again. Have everyone be peak bodies. Like, no, they can't be as strong as the Spartans. Well, you know what? That hurt your movie.
It absolutely hurts your movie.
Because now I'm looking at people who, like, they're kind of like, but if they look jacked and they look like crazy, then I'm sitting there going, maybe the story's not as good, but I can look at this and go, wow, look at these people. They are cut. They are, you know, they are in prime condition. Yeah, they might not be able to fight as well as Spartans, but they can be jacked like Spartans. Why not?
They can't even make speeches as good as the Spartans. He gives, like, 4 speeches this movie. Mm-hmm. Eva Green gives at least 2, and none of them have anything. I mean, I'm past the joke of the fact that the back row can't hear it. I'll throw that away. I'm just kidding with that. There are just...
they're weak. There's no, they're, here's, we only fight. Oh, here here's we go. Where they die. It's like Fanny, you know, take good. From them everything.
That first one was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Spartan.
No, the first one, yeah.
I know. Don't tell me. Every now time do, you say do. I do a good job, then I think about it. I'm like, and then he goes, hey, kids, huh?
Oh, shit, oh, that's 300, the that's 300 Rise of the Empire. Oh, Rise of the Empire.
You know, exactly.
That's what he sounds like. We're going to fight them, guys.
Exactly.
Here yeah, we
they,
go.
They don't work. They never build to a crescendo. Jerry Butler, whatever, he committed to the role. Zack Snyder got the role. And it's like every speech became a meme. Everything in this was
he was
perfect.
He was pulling lines from, again, he wrote the second one, so I don't know what the excuse is, but he would pull lines.
He was busy making another film, you said.
He would pull, I know, but I'm saying writing-wise, because he was pulling lines from poetry. Like, he would actually pull lines from history, and they would say it. So
he used them all in the first film.
Yeah, he did. So the idea that they couldn't be, like, jacked and all, and on top of that, so I had Jerry pause the film.
You
I
did.
Pulled up on my phone Xerxes from the first movie and then Xerxes from the second movie. There is a color grading problem in the second movie. The first movie
and lighting,
there's color grading. There's the dark, the blacks and the shadows and the way they accentuate the eyes. They don't do that in the second movie, and I don't know why. He looks like Xerxes hasn't been out in the sun.
You said it best. Really was like, it looked like a TV movie mm-hmm. compared to a film movie.
Oh, it's very, this is really a TV did. Movie.
This looked flat. Mm-hmm. The backgrounds all looked fine, out of focus, whatever they're going to do, but it was flat. And even, I was already aware of it, but then when you called it and had me pause it, it became even more pronounced.
Yeah, it's very flat. They filmed it against green screen versus blue screen, which is, they filmed the first movie against mostly blue screen because it's less bright, so it's darker, and it shows against the red capes, the crimson, and all that.
Very
better.
Interesting.
It's a like, clever way to use it. I'm sure they didn't even think about that. They probably were just like, we're going to do green screen. Why? Because that's what you do is green screen. It's like, no, you got to think about things like that. So the idea that like it didn't have the same look, it didn't have the same feel, it didn't have the same care. Like, there's a moment in 300. One of my favorite moments was the one guy looks, and his face goes black, and his eyes stay colored.
And they did an effect.
It's unnecessary, but it makes it so cool.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing like that in the second movie.
Every slow motion, every cut scene, everywhere they would stop and they'd have fake blood hit the fake lens. It also didn't feel motivated. It didn't feel like it happened for a reason. Versus in 300, mm-hmm. you stop the camera and you go slow here. You zoom in, you zoom out. It all felt like this is why you would do it. In the next film, it's like, close up on the horse. Closer on the horse. Now the horse's hoof. Now it's like, why are you doing this? It's like,
they
this
focused
doesn't
on the wrong things that 300 did, like the gore. It was on. It became stupid. At
I've
one
said
point.
This with other films, and this is how I feel. Even though at the end of the day, I thought, like, I wrote down here a couple of statements. Story is good. Like the actual story is good. Execution is meh. And then I also said it's all style, no substance. And it's not even that good a style.
No.
And I wanted it to be better. If this was the first time we'd ever seen a film like this, I'd be like, this is incredible. There was a film done by Milly Jovanovich called Ultraviolet. Mm-hmm. You ever seen it?
Yeah.
I've seen it once. I remember watching it going, this looks incredible. And I don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, it didn't connect. It's just that level of like, gosh darn it, you're doing everything right. You got your camera movement, you got your light, you got all this stuff, and why isn't it working? Because it just doesn't work, and this film doesn't work.
It's just this. There was a film called The Immortals, which I think I don't know if we talked about.
I never
it
even saw
time,
it.
But
you meant yeah. You
yeah,
mentioned
it's not. It's
a
wannabe. It's a wannabe Zack Snyder wannabe. And
which
it just
one
doesn't
is the one
work.
That had Jaime Lannister as a god, where he was one of the tall gods? There's, you know, a bunch of, it was a Hercules, you know, it was
Clash
was,
of the Titans. Or
no, it was another one though, where they it was in that same, yeah. You know,
Troy.
The, keep going.
Yeah.
Hercules starring the guy from the Twilight movies.
The new Conan.
Yeah. Some of the stuff I wrote down here was, Eva Green's character. It's frustrating, but she gets on the boats and she just uses others as excuses. Like, I'm leading this army. Now let's go. And you're in charge so that when this battle ends, instead of me continuing, I'm just going to execute you. I was like, I kept getting frustrated with silly story ideas that should never have frustrated
me. Like, evil, but like cartoony. Like, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the way you mentioned how can they make this movie this nowadays. The way you do it is, if you're going to make 300 Rise of an Empire, I wouldn't tell any more stories about the Greeks. You tell the story about Xerxes. But you show it from his point of view, and you make him sympathetic. You make the You make the villain maybe not sympathetic, but you make you understand the motivations of the villain.
They kind of did in this one a little bit with his dad died,
and so he went on. You know what? I could have seen more of that.
Yeah,
I could have seen his conquering of the of
the Persia. Scene where he also transformed. Asia. I thought that was a very good scene.
Yeah, I could have seen more of that. Show me that story. That sounds good. Apparently, I never read it, but Frank Miller wrote a book called Xerxes.
You did.
All about
I did
this.
Read that. Yeah, I did.
And you know
read
what? Why don't you just go back to source material and tell that story? Zack Snyder did say there is room for sequels, but he goes. It's not even just his sequels go. Yeah, American Revolution could take place in China. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting concept. I would love to see an American Revolutionary War done in the style of 300. That sounds kick-ass, actually. Or kick-ass. No. but that is what I would rather see, and that's how you could do the movie nowadays, because you could do it and make the Persians not look evil, but look, you know, they're the heroes in their story. And I think that's the way you get away with it.
Yeah. I mean, my last bits of notes on here, other than the fact that I did like to see that the actor from both Captain America the Winter Soldier and Batman vs. Superman, Colin Mulvey, who he played the KG Beast in Batman, he was in this. I forgot. This was like 2014, whenever this came out. This was his peak time. He's like, I'm on my way. I'm in these three huge franchises. And then I'm sure he's still working, but this was as big as it gets for him. Some of the other notes I have here. Is Joel got a very big kick out of seeing the actor Peter, whatever his name, and from the TV series Spartacus. He shows back up in here briefly. He's the one in the first movie. Goes, this is madness, you know.
Yeah, well, I like that.
Choose again, your words carefully.
He was awesome in Spartacus. They cast him.
But
like,
he shows up.
We've
in
got
here.
The guy from 300 in Spartacus.
They didn't really play up on the fact that the character of Eva Green as a kid was raised by him, and then they could have utilized the fact that he was killed by the Spartans. You know.
Yeah. Oh, they could have done. Ton of stuff
here. Yeah,
you know, the bad guys were so bland, like in the 300 the movie,
every bad guy
has stands out in some sort of
our arrows will blot out the sun.
Yeah, right. And or the guy who his face goes black and his eyes still glow, or
Spartans get off your
or the executioner who has blades for hands,
everything,
like, what, or the big monster creature. We had a couple monster creatures taking the oil rig thing, spinning that around, but her henchmen, her like four guys, forgettable. You're replaceable. You could have done it. You
what
didn't,
happened
you didn't
to her
make
second
it
in command in this? I don't even remember.
Well, what happened to
the Hunchback?
Themoccles.
The Hunchback. No.
Themoccles, his friend who had the terrible goatee and mustache. What happened to him?
Or the kid who was his. Yeah, it was weird.
It's well, just, kid,
and I don't care.
The
I don't care. You know, that's
either.
The funny thing is, you asked him what happened. I'm like, oh, that's right. I guess I was supposed to care about them. I don't know. Like, again, I'm looking here in my notes, and it's like, I've got it written down. The biggest crime of the movie? This is kind of boring. I was like, okay, come on. I don't know why I'm not. One of the famous scenes in there was the trailer where the show's
he
jumps off the cliff, and clearly, okay, he's going to land. Gravity doesn't work that well. I'm accepting the fact that he's able to land. It doesn't work. Okay, so he's flying off, and it's a pose. Like he's got one arm in the air, and he's flying. And he's
with
going
a sword
the
in hand.
Sword yeah. in hand. He's going down. He's going down. He's going down. And then at last second, they're like, we've already spent way too much time on that. So then he stops in midair, and he grabs it and hits it with two arms. It's like. Why did you switch from one to the other one?
Why didn't you
one?
Just jump off with two arms if you were going to do that? Yeah,
exactly.
It was really silly.
It, yeah.
I never knew what you were talking about when because you had mentioned that before. And that's
well, you never
so
know
true.
What I'm talking about.
It's true. It's true.
I call this movie, I came to the conclusion at the end of this, if I had to, this movie is the equivalent of Beneath the Planet of the Apes from the Planet of the Apes trilogy. It sounded like, oh, we're continuing the story. That was all it was.
I thought you were going to be like, the first movie's 300, this movie's 94.
Okay. No, that's still an A.
not if the scale is 300. So yeah, I'm happy we watched it again. I'm happy we did it for our 300 podcast. And I think it makes. I've never compared the two movies this way before. I just saw it once and went, "Oh, that was a boring movie." But actually sitting down and watching them back to back is an interesting experience, and I recommend anyone do it, because I think what it'll do for you is it'll give you a much better appreciation for the movie 300. It'll give you, it'll solidify that in your top 50, as Jerry said.
Yeah. I will also say, while I was watching the second film, I thought for myself, why didn't I put anything on Facebook about this? So I threw out a thing on Facebook saying, hey, we're recording our 300th episode right now. Give me, you know, say something for the
more?
Podcast, reviewing both 300 and 300 Rise of the Empire.
Because I mentioned Jeff's.
Well, Jeff commented on this also. And again, when we thanked everybody at the front of this podcast, Jeff was the one that we actually said, we don't know who he is. And yeah. He's the one who we're talking about now. So that's quite ironic. So Jeff came up there where he's like...
Well, he talked about Zack Snyder, which is what I referenced already.
Oh, he did hit. Okay, but I didn't see that. All I know is when I put up the first one, he's like, "This is unnecessarily vague," and I told him, "I go, I need a little bit more for the podcast." And he responded with, "Also, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly," which is a reference to WKRP's Thanksgiving episode from the first season in 1978.
I have no idea why he mentioned that.
So, Jeff, if you could explain why you referenced a fantastic Thanksgiving episode, a classic, but I have no idea what that ties into this. So, Jeff Cook, everybody, take it easy, take a bow, Jeff.
On a side note, it's his anniversary today, so we'll let it slide.
Slide away.
Happy anniversary, Jeff Cook.
Yes. All right, that's it. 300 podcasts. 300 podcasts? What are we doing?
That's not counting minicasts.
What are we doing?
We've done 2,000 podcasts.
Oh, my God. Yes, you need to become a patron subscriber to hear all the other...
This is podcast 301 because we once did a podcast and forgot to hit record.
We redid that.
We did redo it.
We only did half of it.
This is 300 and a half podcasts.
You know, when we're finally done doing this, I'm going to take all the Patreon ones. Well, actually, I've already put a couple mixed in there. We have an entire... We did the Ed Pierce one where he reviewed all the mm-hmm. Marvel stuff. But I do have, if you're a patron subscriber, you can hear Ed Pierce. We take him through the entire history of every Harrison Ford film. That was
good.
That was really good.
That was fun.
So I recommend it. Again, thank you, listeners. This has been an experience. And I think we're going to keep going with this. We're not getting any younger. Joel's in his early 60s and I'm 105.
I've already beaten one thing. I'll be around for a long time.
Yes. 2020 and 21 have kicked the asses of the Bennett brothers, but we're coming back hopefully.
Better than ever.
Yes, it's been a tough time. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, friends, for doing this with us. And if we didn't get a chance to mention you in this podcast, believe me, it wasn't done maliciously. We apologize, but we thank you so much. We are going to continue doing this. We're coming back up with the Loki series. So,
oh, you know who we didn't thank? Who's a very loyal podcast listeners? We want to thank Ron and Zelinda Palooch.
Sure.
You guys listen all the time, even if it's on Fast Forward. You guys listen to us. Thank you for listening. We love you guys.
Zelinda, Lindy Palooch, she comments. She's like, "I like your podcast, but why do you guys talk so fast?" And she had it on double speed. And I don't care if that embarrasses you telling you that story, because that's really funny and that's an awesome story. So
it is a great story.
So now we'll talk slower.
Are you Xerxes right now?
Yes, I am. All right, guys. 300 on to 300 more. Oh, no.
Who knows with the way Marvel's going?
Oh, my God.
We have at least 300 more this year.
Awesome. After this podcast, we're done. Joel and I and his family, we're going to go out to Woodstock, Illinois for the Food Truck Fest. So I would like to say,
tonight we dine in Woodstock.
See, it was totally worth it, Joel.
Maybe we won't do any more podcasts after this.
I'm going to take from you everything. I screwed it up already.
Okay, guys, this is Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next 300.